Welcome to the Take Six Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Take Six Podcast on a beautiful Saturday, almost afternoon, and it is a Blue Jays podcast. It's kind of fitting to be an afternoon pod on a weekend because it's the Jay season. That's what they do. That's what we do. Today, we have a very special guest, but first, I'm going to introduce myself. My name is Hunter Surplus, and on the other line, as always, we've got Mr. Callum Wise. Callum, how are you doing, my man?
I'm doing pretty good. Hopefully you guys are doing the same. Like you said, it's a beautiful almost afternoon, so.
Yes, sir. And like I mentioned, we do have a very special guest, and that's Adam Corsair from the South of the Six podcast and website. How are you doing, Adam?
I'm all right. Thanks for having me on. And yes. I agree. It's beautiful down here. I hope it's the same way up there in Toronto.
Oh, it sure is, my man. So like I said, we are talking all things Toronto Blue Jays today. Currently, the Blue Jays sit fourth in the AL East with a win-loss record of 3-6. You might ask, who is fifth in the AL East? And it might come as a bit of a surprise, but it is the Boston Red Sox, which makes me extremely happy. Yes. I don't know about you guys, but it makes me extremely happy. The Red Sox, however, have played all of their games on the road. And then we've got the Yankees just ahead of us at 3-4, the Orioles at 4-3, and the Tampa Bay Rays are leading our division at 6-2. I'm sure all of that will change, but if not, that's kind of exciting. Since our last recording of this podcast, which I think was last Saturday or Sunday, the Blue Jays played a three-game series against the Orioles, which they lost 2 of 3. And then they are in Cleveland for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, in which they have lost the first two games of the series last night off of a walk-off, and Thursday almost getting no hit. So, guys, the big news, however, of this past week, I guess there's two things that kind of made headlines this week, were Kevin Pillar getting traded. Now, first off, what are your initial thoughts on this trade? Did you like it? Did you not like it? Adam, what do you think?
I loved it. I think that this was a long time coming. It didn't really make sense for Kevin Pillar to stay on this roster. He's 30 years old. We've seen exactly what Kevin Pillar is for the past couple of years. There's no doubt in my mind that he's hit his ceiling already, and if this is his ceiling, it's certainly not good enough to carry over into a playoff team when that happens. A consistent winner, which is what this front office wants to build. Kevin Pillar certainly doesn't seem to be a cohesive part of that. His defense is what people like to point to as what makes him so valuable. That certainly has been declining over the past 2 years. I understand the catches, the dives, all that. That's exciting, but that doesn't necessarily translate into a winning formula. Anytime you can get three guys for one player, you kind of have to pull the trigger. And the one that stands out to me the most, Juan de Paula, is someone that I think the Blue Jays can really refine and make into a pretty decent arm coming up through the system. He's still young. I want to say he's 21 years old. He's only in the single A aspect of the farm system. So if he can develop into what they think he's going to be, and this is something that the Blue Jays is severely lacking in their farm system, that being arms, if they can sort of bolster that via trade, then I can't see a reason why anybody would complain about this.
I could tell you who complains about that. All those the people who go to the games with their phones out the whole time. Those are the people that complain about it. No, I completely agree with you. I do agree that his defense has gone down. I remember me and Hunter talked about this last year, and Hunter was kind of mad that everyone was so hyped about his plays. He's like, why does this guy dive for a catch that he could literally walk and grab?
Yes.
Like,
yes. Yes.
I remember those words exactly from Hunter because it made so much sense. Because, like, he does it for, I don't want to say for the fame, because, like, he is really good defensively, but he doesn't have to do that. Like, I know it kind of, like,
I don't know if you guys remember, but Pierce had a couple times when he tried to dive for it last year and completely missed it. And I feel like that had something to do with him trying to live up to Pilar. So I'm not going to say I'm glad he's gone, but he definitely has hit a ceiling in terms of what he's able to achieve. And like you said, getting three players for the price of one okay player is definitely worth it, especially coming off of these trades that we have done in the past where we've gotten practically nothing for all-star players such as Donaldson. And so, yeah, I do like this trade, and it's looking better for Blue Jays management as of this year.
Yeah, I'm totally on board with you guys, and especially with the large amount of outfielders that the Blue Jays have kind of stacked up, either aren't playing or coming up through the system. Like, we've got Anthony Alford, who was down playing in AAA, and then as soon as they made that trade, I was talking to Connor Chambers from the TO Sports Views, and we were saying that Alford is going to come up basically as soon as Pilar gets traded. It's just a matter of time. He thought it was going to be later in the year, but I'm totally on board. Pilar, we've always said after spring training, well, at least these past few years, that, yeah, he might take that step forward. The big thing around Jays media was Pilar is experiencing more, quote-unquote, patience at the plate. And then as soon as it came up, as soon as he got his, you know, first six or seven at-bats, he realized, yeah, that might just have been a spring training thing. This isn't legit. And we always talk about Pilar's defense, which is good, and Callum, you brought up what I said last year, but it's always because Pilar had a bad first step. And, like, not a bad first step, but, like, a really bad first step. Like, he would either step back if the ball was forward, step forward if it's going back, and that's kind of why he had to make some of those plays. I'm not saying that they're not outstanding catches. They're some of the best catches that I've ever seen in my life, but outside of that, like, irregular defensive play, he didn't have that great of an arm. He was pretty horrible at the plate. He did not understand the concept of walking. And I don't know, like, he doesn't make the team better, really, but it's going to be sad to see him go, right? He's played so long with Toronto, basically since he's gotten into the league. And it was emotional seeing him so upset during his little scrum after hearing about the news, but that's okay.
Yeah, I mean, all right, so the way I look at this is I'm just surprised that they traded him so quickly. Usually, historically, at least within the past couple of years, Kevin Pillar has started off with some pretty hot starts at the plate, right? It's somehow he's been able to hit like 250 to 300 in the month of April and May, and as soon as June flips over, he turns into this pumpkin that bats like 140. I was assuming that the Blue Jays were kind of crossing their fingers for that and looking to sell high, but I think it was more of the Giants kind of being aggressive for outfield help and pulling the strings of the Blue Jays to make this happen. So in that aspect, I understand why they kind of want to wipe their hands of Kevin Pillar. Not that he was a stain on the organization, although he did have that one mishap. Kind of people pretty much forget about it anyway, but I don't know. I think it's just surprising that he was traded so quickly. And other than that, now from the 2015-16 teams, all that's left is Stroman, Sanchez, Smoke, who else? Travis and Pompey. Is that the only five? Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
So there you go. And Tapera. That's it. That's all you have from those 2 years of magic. So it's slowly slipping away. So I guess the thing that excites me the most is that this is a clear indication that the Blue Jays are forming a brand new identity. And for that's what makes me excited about this year the most, is to see these kids that's going to form this new identity of Blue Jays sort of prosper and grow in front of our eyes.
Yeah, I agree. And you talk about new identity. We said this last week, and I just want to reiterate it. The Jays last year had only six total sacrifice bunts. Yep. In the 162 game season, they had six total sacrifice bunts. And this year, I don't know, I didn't look at it coming up for this week, but they've already had their first sacrifice bunt in the very first series of the season. And when you talk about brand new identity, I think that's a very big thing and a very exciting thing to see playing, you know, quote unquote, proper baseball or strategic baseball, small ball, whatever you want to call it. It's good to see. And I think they're really stepping into that when it comes to this trade. And I like it. I really,
and,
Luke, I really do.
Maley, he tried one last night.
Oh, did he? Yes, I was. Yeah.
Tried. Is a hard word to use because that was a terrible
bunt.
I did see
that. You're right. You're right. Well, see what I'm saying? We're off to a very different start than past years, guys. Well, the next big thing that kind of happened this week was Randall Grichuk and the Blue Jays agreed to a 5-year, $52 million extension. Grichuk got that bag and secured it. Are you guys happy with this? Like, do you guys think that Grichuk is a 5 years isn't necessarily a long-term thing, but do you guys see Grichuk kind of being that leader for this next 5 years for this young up-and-coming Blue Jays team?
I definitely think that he's fit well with this team. Like, he's, you could tell when he's on the bench, like, he's friends with everybody already. I'm kind of surprised at the 5-year. I didn't think they would go for that long, especially because we're in this rebuild stage. But I mean, as soon as he got that contract, he had two bombs that night. So, I mean, he kind of has already started performing. I mean, performing compared to the rest of the Blue Jays in terms of hitting. Yeah, I think he can be a leader, but it's like, it's a weird choice for a leader, you know? It's not who you would think to be a leader. I think like someone like Smoke, even, who's been here for longer than almost everybody. Like you said, there's only five guys left. Obviously, Pompey can't walk into a room without getting a concussion. And Travis, same thing. He's always injured. Stroman can be a leader. Like, he's extremely driven by emotion, which you kind of do want, like, with this with a young squad. Then there's, like, Sanchez, who's – I don't see him as being a leader. So, I feel like Grichuk can be kind of a leader, but I don't think he's going to be that main guy who's, like, brings all these guys together. I mean, we'll see, but I just don't think that he's that guy.
Yeah, I don't know that he's supposed to be, right? Just because he's getting a 5-year contract, was it like 50 plus million dollars?
Yeah, 52.
I mean, I think at this point he's the longest tenured, but he's the longest secured contractual non-rookie player on this team, which is I guess that puts you in a leadership role in terms of longevity, but in terms of sheer personality, I tend to agree with you that I don't think that he has those leadership qualities. I do think that this is without the Kevin Pillar trade, obviously this wouldn't happen. And if it did, if I'm Kevin Pillar, I'm pissed. But it seems that they believe in Grichuk, and this screams Colby Rasmus to me, right? Like, he comes from the St. Louis.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
No, I'm not saying that it's going to be a repeat, right? I'm sure he's going to be far better, right? This is obviously a brand new staff to sort of bring out the best in the player, but it's sort of mirroring the coming from a St. Louis organization. He wasn't really happy there. He wasn't going to get full-time work. Comes over to the Blue Jays, and they like him enough to make him the anchor in the outfield. He certainly has talent, right? I like the adjustments that he's made with the swing. If you remember last year when he came in, his stance was a lot lower. Like, he was very crouched to the plate, very tight. Mm-hmm. Now he seems a lot more relaxed, and the swing definitely shows, even though the offensive number as a whole aren't really there, but he's definitely coming into form, and I like it. So, look, 5 years, that seems to be a long contract for the Jays, right? And anytime you see a Jays player lock up someone for 5 years, they know, you know, it's serious. What I like about this, though, is that it's not an untradeable contract, right? So if in 2-3 years it's not working out, at that point, I think the market will be favorable enough that you can probably move them and you can probably go on with what's left in the outfield farm system, right? You don't know if Anthony Alford's going to be what we think he's going to be, or Teoscar Hernandez kind of comes into form. There are options. So if this doesn't work out, it's okay, because this isn't breaking the bank by any means. $52 million, that's really nothing compared to what other teams are paying their outfielders. So I'm comfortable.
The contracts that we have right now, it's literally nothing.
Exactly. Right. I don't know what they have committed to next year. I want to say it's under 20 maybe. And if it's under $20 million, that's awesome. So I'm cool with it. It's nothing that's going to tie the Blue Jays' hands, and it's a low risk, high reward signing.
Yeah, I totally agree with what both of you guys said there. I think Grichuk kind of came in last year, and with some of his play, he had stretches where he was really, really good, hitting a lot of home runs, getting a lot of RBIs. And then there were stretches where he was the opposite. But to me, where he was good kind of outshined the moments where he was bad, and he kind of became a bit of a fan favorite, a lesser name fan favorite than most. But I do like the signing. He is a fairly young guy, 27 years old for the MLB. That's still on the younger side. He's a fairly young guy. I think he brings a lot of energy to the team, which is what you need in this situation. And like both of you said, that if you know that you've got this 5 years to kind of hone your game down and get what you want to get out of the MLB and out of your time with the Blue Jays, I think he'll probably, and I'm hoping this, is that he'll be able to refine his game into what he needs, take little parts from other people on the team, maybe get a little bit better at hitting, maybe get a little bit better on the defensive end. And since the Jays are in that rebuild mode, he's able to do these things on a slower basis and with less pressure. So by the end of this contract, we might be seeing a very different Randall Grichuk than he is right now. He's still young enough to make all these different changes, and he's still young enough to hopefully be influenced by some of these older guys and older coaches who will be able to help him like that. So I like it. Like Adam said, it's not breaking the bank. It's not a scary contract by any means. It's tradable if some of our younger guys do end up coming up and showing out and, you want to move them. It's not an untradeable contract. And for what Grichuk is producing in terms of offense and defense, you're not overpaying and you're not underpaying the guy, really. Like, obviously, right now he's on a slow start, but so is every Blue Jay. But yeah, I totally like it. One more thing we talked about last week is the play of the Toronto Blue Jays, and they are 3-6. Not great, not horrible. We kind of expected this kind of stuff. What's brought them to this point, and pretty much what's brought them to their wins, except for one of their wins, is basically good pitching. Everything else, their hitting has been pretty horrid, and they haven't really been able to do much on that side of the diamond, I guess you could say. So for you guys, Callum, I know we already touched on this a bit last week. You guys, what is more surprising to you? The exceptional pitching, especially from the starting pitcher so far, or the bad hitting?
Can I say neither?
Yeah. Yes, of course.
I guess the pitching, if I'm going to choose one, it's going to be the pitching, because the caveat about talking about this team coming into the year was if it stays healthy, the pitching staff should be good. So I can't really say I'm surprised that the pitching staff, other than Baroki and I guess Clayton Richard, thus far has been quote unquote healthy with no setbacks, because it's only what, 9 games in. So I guess if we're going to choose anything, it's the pitching. I thought Shoemaker was going to be a really good pickup for the team. I didn't expect him to be this solid. Albeit it's only been 2 starts. It's a very small sample size. Aaron Sanchez, his finger is, for all intents and purposes, very good so far. It's not, looking like it went through a sausage grinder. Marcus Stroman has been pretty good too. He's actually been very good. Trent Thornton has been a nice little surprise, and I hope that he can keep it moving. Sean Refoley is, whatever. It's been 1 start. So I'm cool with it. The offense, I wasn't really expecting much. When you look at the lineup, there's not really a boatload of power hitting on the team. I was a little disappointed with Lourdes Gurriel. I thought he was going to start off a little better. But otherwise, you look up and down the lineup, there's really nothing that you can point to say, oh man, he's going to be really good. He's going to be a really good hitter until Vladimir Guerrero Jr. comes into this lineup. So if I'm going to choose anything, it's going to be the pitching, but honestly, I'm not really surprised by either. I thought the pitching was going to be solid to start, and I kind of expected the offense to trail off a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, Hunter said it before that we've already talked about it. I'm like in the same boat. Like the hitting is nothing that we didn't expect, especially from the Jays. I mean, maybe we expected something from a new hitting coach, but you can't really change it that fast when you have the same guys, or the most of the same guys. The pitching, like, yeah, you're right when you're saying like you're not that surprised by it, but like definitely I think Shoemaker was the biggest surprise, and the fact that Stroman's doing so well, just I know like Stroman's, he's on and off. So right now he's on. Hopefully he doesn't go off for a little like for a little while. But we're still missing some starting pitchers. Obviously you said Barucki, Buchholz as well is also gone, and we're still missing Tapera and Axford, I'm pretty sure, from the bullpen. Yeah. So we're still missing a couple guys, like a couple key guys in the pitching rotation, but we're doing really well pitching. Obviously, we lost on a walk-off last night to Biagini, which kind of sucked because he was pitching well. He looked like he was doing well in that eighth inning rotate, or when he played in the eighth inning, but he came into the ninth and obviously gave up the walk-off. But that doesn't worry me too much. Cleveland is a really good team. I'm not super surprised with the pitching, but it's also nice to see that what they're doing so well.
So it seems to me you guys both, and I'm on this boat too, you guys aren't surprised with the hitting, and not a whole lot is going to change there. But we do have a bit of a tougher schedule than we've started off with going forward that might have the pitching staff kind of run into a few problems in terms of giving up big hits, home runs, a lot of runs. So we've got Boston coming in next week, the middle of next week, and then the Tampa Bay Rays, who have been very hot to start off this year. And then after that, we've got the Minnesota Twins the following week. Do you think anything is going to change? Is there going to be a ugly few games coming up, or do you think that this, have you seen enough out of this Jays rotation to be like, no, I think we're going to be okay against some of these more powerhouse teams compared to the Orioles and the Tigers?
I think we're going to be okay. I don't think we're going to win games. Like, I think the starting rotation is going to be good. I just don't trust the bullpen not to cough it up later on. So I do think the Blue, it's not like we're going to get blown out. Like, I don't see any 7-1, 8-1 games. I do see them being relatively close. And I think the starting rotation will make it interesting. But, you know, once the bullpen steps in, that's when I'm sort of white knuckling my chair. So I don't think it's going to translate into wins, but I do expect the starting rotation to remain solid.
Yeah. I think I heard them talking last night, like it's going to be Sale versus Shoemaker, which is going to be a nice pitching matchup to see. Boston is getting pumped. Like they lost, what was it? 14-1 yesterday.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Delicious.
Yes. Oh no, they didn't. They lost 15-8.
Actually. Oh, okay.
They kind of not brought it back, but they didn't.
Regardless. Score yes. Run.
It was the Diamondbacks, and the Diamondbacks are sick, but it's good to see that the Red Sox are getting destroyed, which is nice to see for us. Like Boston, obviously you can't count them out because they were one of the best teams in history last year, which is crazy to say, but if they have any signs of that they did last year, then the Blue Jays might be in trouble. But I have faith in our starting, like you said, faith in the starting pitching, bullpen, not so much.
Yeah, I agree with you guys on both of those, both of what you guys said there. So this week I mentioned, you know, are they going to have a bit of a tough time? If you could predict the record going from Saturday, so today's game against the Indians, to next Sunday's game, I guess. So we'll finish off that Tampa Bay series against the Rays. What do you think is going to happen? Are they going to go 0-7, or are they going to go, you know, 3-4, split a couple of these games here?
I don't think I think we're gonna take a game off of Boston. Was it a three-game series or a two-game series?
It's a weird one. Yeah, they have.
Yeah, there's a break in between.
Yeah, it's a weird.
It's because that's Boston's opening day, and in the event that it rains, they keep that next day open.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think we'll go 1-1 with Boston, and Tampa, I think, will lose 2 and win 1. So I think, plus we have these two Cleveland games coming up. I mean, the Cleveland games were kind of were close in a like 4-1 and then 3-2, obviously with the walk off. I think we'll be able to take one, maybe the next two off of these guys, just because they've been close games, but you never know. So I think. What, 7 out of 7 games will win 3?
I agree. I had them winning 1 game against Cleveland. I thought that was kind of generous, but I'm keeping my fingers crossed there. Assuming that the Red Sox continue this slow start, I think the Blue Jays can definitely split that. The Rays have been so good; they've been playing so well. But it is in Toronto, so I'd like to think the Blue Jays can take one of those two. So, 3. And, you know, if they can just take one, especially on opening day against the Red Sox, that would just be even more delicious. Because, look, I don't want to hate on them too much. On paper, they're the best team in baseball by far. Like, yep. they're obviously great. But I being in New England, I talk to people about this all the time about the Red Sox. The chances of a team repeating in the World Series are so slim. It's so slim. So you can be the best team on paper all you want, but the history and the numbers aren't in your favor of winning 2 World Series in a row. Mm-hmm. So I just like to keep that in my back pocket about the Red Sox. They can be great, and they're starting off slow, which is awesome for me. But there's I just don't see it ending well for this team. You know, I just want to see them fail. So there you yes. go. I have 3. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go with 2. I don't know if they win any of these games in Cleveland. I think they'll take one from Boston and one from Tampa. Hopefully, you know, I think it'll be probably that first one. They'll try to show out a little bit in front of the home crowd. So lastly, our last topic of the day here is our standout player of the week. So guys, this is the guy who has either outperformed your expectations for this 1 week or who just has had a really good week. Maybe he made a really nice catch. Maybe he hit a really nice home run. So Adam, we'll start off with you here. Who is your guy for this quote unquote award?
I feel like we might all have the same one. So I feel generous being the guy to go first. I'm going to go with Shoemaker. 14. Yeah, there you go. 14 innings pitched, 15 strikeouts, only 3 walks, allowing only 4 hits. That's crazy. That's crazy good. Again, a 0 ERA. I know it's not translating into, like, maybe not confidence with the offense. If the offense was definitely playing well enough, it would be better for Shoemaker, but he's won both of those games. So I'm hoping that this continues. I'm hoping that this sort of check for him as a Blue Jay continues. If I'm not mistaken, he does have an option for next year. So if he continues to pitch like this, this would be a perfect guy to have on the squad next year, right? And to really keep that rotation set as it is. But 14 solid innings, man, you can't go wrong, especially someone that's coming off an injury. That is very encouraging. So if he can continue this, I like it. I like the beard. The beard is awesome. So keep it up. Shoemaker's my guy, man.
Kyle, what about you, man?
So obviously I was going to say Shoemaker, but I'm going to go with Grichik just because that game that he came after he signed the contract hitting 2 bombs was kind of nice to see. So not for like huge reasons. I'm just going to say Grichik just because he had that really good game after he signed this the big contract.
All right. I'm going to go with Galvis, Freddy Galvis here.
Oh, nice.
He is hitting .320 on the season, which is way above everyone else on the Blue Jays. You know, not a whole lot of power. 2 home runs, 5 RBIs. He's got a couple walks. He had the 3 walks in that game against Cleveland on, what was that, on Thursday, I think it was?
Yeah, he broke up.
So he I think he had a very good week. He's been playing really well. He will probably, you know, kind of revert to the mean here, or, you know, his mean at least. But for right now, Freddie Galvis is my guy. So that ends the podcast for this week. It's a nice short one today, thankfully, for all the listeners. Everybody, enjoy the nice weather out in Toronto on this beautiful Saturday, on this beautiful Sunday, I'm hoping as well. Adam, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it. Where can everybody find you?
Well, first, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Of course.
You can find me at South of the Six, again, like you guys. That's six spelled how the cool kids spell it. It's 6IX. We talk Blue Jays. We talk Raptors on the reg. We've got a great writing staff on the website to produce articles for your reading pleasure. We release one podcast a week on the Raptors and one podcast a week on the Blue Jays to keep up to date with both teams. So you can find us on all your podcatchers. Doesn't matter which one, we're there. Subscribe. And again, guys, thanks for having me.
Yes, of course. And go back and listen to, is it your most recent Raptors podcast? Or have you
it's
done
the most
since?
Recent for you yeah. and I. Yeah, it was last yeah. week. Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah. So go listen to the most recent Raptors podcast from South of the Six. I joined Adam on that one. We talked all things Raptors. You can hear his opinion on it. If you don't want to hear mine, at least you can hear his. So yeah, Adam, thank you. Callum, as always, it's a pleasure talking to you on this beautiful day, man.
You too.